We ready?
Yes. Are you nervous about being on a podcast?
Super nervous. Actually, I'm nervous that I don't know what I'm going to talk about.
Well, maybe you should have answered the questions I sent you.
I know, right? I don't answer questions well.
My goodness, no, you don't.
What do you want to talk about with me?
Well, now you don't know until I ask you.
Fabulous. I'm good with that.
Hi friends, I'm Emily Thomas and you're listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast, where I chat with friends each week about how they've moved from just plain old struggling to struggling well. The show is not only about motherhood and kids though. The fact of the matter is, we all have struggles. So think of it more as a conversation regarding how to be less bad at our jobs. I don't know about you, but I can use all the help I can get. So let's go ahead and get started. Hey guys, welcome back. This is episode 50. The big 5-0. I'm going to throw myself a party after this and eat some cake. I feel like that's an accomplishment. I am excited to share my guest, Heather McFadden, with you today. She's my friend in real life. We both live in Dallas. And also, she is a host of a podcast, little tiny podcast, called The God-Centered Mom, which you may or may not have definitely heard about. She is one of my favorites because she is very funny. Not a lot of funny women. It's hard times, but she's very funny. She's very honest. She's very real. She's not afraid to say hard things. She's had a lot of impact on my life because she will say things that I need to hear that maybe a lot of people wouldn't say. So I appreciate her, and I think that you're really going to enjoy our conversation. Before we get started, though, I wanted to read a review from a listener. This is from Mom at Home with Two. She says, Emily is relatable and enjoyable to listen to. I've recommended this podcast to many other moms because of the honest conversations. Keep it up, Emily. And I'm telling you guys this because you need to be like Mom at Home with Two and tell all your friends. You are my marketing department. I don't know if you know that. You get absolutely nothing for it, but a big old thank you from me. So you guys, thank you for leaving your reviews on iTunes. Also, Lake Willamott left a review and she said, Emily and our guests are funny, encouraging, and honest to the point of vulnerability. All the traits that you want in a great group of friends. Even though my children are nearly grown, I can relate to the struggles and laugh at the shared experiences. I only wish Emily had been my podcast friend sooner. So good. I'm so glad that people can relate, and I'm seeing that all the types of moms can relate, people who aren't moms can relate, and I think it is, like she said, it's the vulnerability and honesty, and that's what I absolutely love about this community that's forming. So thank you guys for getting the word out. I really think you are all pretty stinking fantastic. All right, let's go ahead and get started with my interview with Heather. Hey, Heather, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, Emily, this is so fun. I'm so proud of you, like a mom.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. I appreciate you and all that you've done to get me to this episode.
It's your go-getterness, your ingenuity. You're amazing. You have such a great little community you've built. I love it. Not little, big, actually.
I mean, gigantic.
I know.
So tell me about who exactly are you?
Who am I? My name is Heather, and I struggle as a mom. I have four young boys. I'm married to Bruce, and we've been married for, 17 years. And
wow, that's longer than I thought.
Yeah. We got married in the turn of the century. So
my word.
It's a long time ago.
I like him because he has curly hair.
I like him for lots of reasons, but that is definitely something that stands out to people. Yeah. Oh, you mean the tall, skinny, curly-haired guy, yep. Who has a lot of energy. And then I have four boys who also have lots of energy. They are ages 10, 8, 6, and 4.
Do you have a lot of energy?
Typically? I mean, in comparison, I feel like I am exhausted. But people tell me I have a lot of energy. So
okay. So you have a little podcast. I'm really hoping it takes off someday.
Oh, you're a nut.
Will you tell me that?
Here's the humbling part of it. I thought I was going to write a book. And so I was working on that for a few years. And I thought I was going to meet with publishers at a conference, a Christian women's conference, a Loom. Yeah. And I show up and I had sent the proposal to my agent. And I never really heard back, but he was traveling the country with one of his clients, Anne Voskamp. And so he was busy.
I've heard of her.
She has got a book out or something. And he was busy. And so he hadn't really read the proposal, and I started realizing like, this is not going to happen. Like I don't think I'm going to meet with publishers because all my friends had exact times, like meet with Zondervan at 10:50 and meet with, you know, Harvest House and I had no list of any times or people. I had no like really fancy printed off proposals. Yeah. And
hang out in the lobby and hope for the best.
Yeah, I had one meeting with him and that was it. And so it kind of hit me like, okay, I don't think this is happening. And I had told people like, please pray, I'm going to be meeting with publishers and da da da. And here it was like totally nothing. And I heard Bianca, she's with A21.
Yeah.
She's really magnanimous Bible preaching woman. And she spoke on the dry bones and how, I think it was Elisha, one of the E-us.
We need more different names.
Yeah. They need to be diversify a little bit when you're going to follow one another. When he, when God tells him to prophesy over the dry bones and God breathes life to them, it felt like that's what the book was, like a bunch of dry bones just lying around. And I was trying to like stack them up and turn them into something. Mm. And he was like, my time, my breath, my life, I will put into this. You just need to trust me. And so I kind of just let the whole thing go. I thought I needed to do it because God had brought it to me and I was doing it out of obedience. And I think it was just part of my journey because I ended up meeting some really cool authors along the way, some of Bill's other clients. And so I decided to start a podcast because what else was I going to do with my free time? I just, in my closet, I'd reached out to Kat Lee and then my friend Katie Orr, and they helped me with all the details of how to set it up. I just started recording episodes and started with my mentor here in Dallas, who you know, Leslie Johnson.
Yeah.
That's episode one. I interviewed my mom and my dad, my mother-in-law, and my husband. I was really reaching out there.
Yeah, some big names.
Some big ones. Mm-hmm. Very important people. I thought if I honor my father and mother, right? Start with that. So
that's biblical.
Yeah, that was a couple years ago. And now we're like episode 120 something crazy.
So good. I love it. It's meant a great deal to me. And I know at least three or four other people.
That's good. So, that's what I'm hoping for.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So speaking of your parents, you come from a strong family. They're solid people. In fact, last year I met your dad. He was just sitting in the car. You ran in. It was at the Declare conference. And anyway, so I walked up to him. I was so excited to meet him because I've heard about him and he has not heard about me. He was not excited to meet me. And so
he was
a little awkward.
Well, he had just been chewed out by me right before you met him because he told me he wasn't going to do chemo for his stage 4 cancer. Oh, and so when he dropped me off, he had just told me he was not going to do chemo. And I was a little upset about it.
Okay.
So there was a lot of tension in that car when you met him.
Okay. Well, super. I'm glad I could be a part of that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. That was really hard to clear for me. I was like, okay, now we're just going to go MC a conference right on the end of a whole summer. Yeah. Yeah. That's a whole nother story. But yes, I did grow up in a really wonderful Christian home.
Yes. And not everybody has that. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah. Well, I've heard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Heard. And I think that regardless of where you start, you want to know what are good things? What are some things that work? And what about your mom specifically? Because this podcast is for moms. I mean, your dad's great, but I don't want to talk about him.
Yeah.
What about your mom? What does she do that you carry into your parenting because it made such an impact on you?
Well, I think that the key part in my family that I want to encourage you moms who didn't maybe grow up in a home that was a Christian home or one that had a lot of support or love is that was my mom's home. I mean, she was a first generation believer and she became a believer as an adult. So she had my sister actually when she was 16 and then my parents got married after that. And then she had another son and there's 11 years between me and my older brother and 16 between my sister and me. And then I have a younger brother. So there's like two sets of families, one set she had when she was super young and not a believer. And then the set with me and my younger brother. And I think that's
like an experiment.
It was an experiment. And it was like, with my older siblings, she became a Christian when they were like elementary age. And so they thought the right answer is to be like super legalistic. Mm. We're going to do this right this time. You guys need to perform and behave. There wasn't a lot of grace in that parenting. Yeah. My brother and sister turned out great. They're wonderful people. But I think it was just a totally different experience by the time I came around. My parents were more seasoned believers and their faith was a little more established. They knew who they were in Christ. But my mom, I think, was trying to like make up for, you know, any... Like if you got another shot at motherhood, what would you do differently? Well, so she farmed, like she had a garden.
No way. That's awesome.
Yeah, we had land and she had like a garden. So we had like strawberries and like lots of gardening. And then She homeschooled me from third through eighth grade, and my younger brother too. Okay. And then, oh my goodness, I did synchronized swimming and ballet. We did all the activities and piano and yeah. And she made a lot of clothes for, she sewed, I did 4-H.
So you guys became pioneers basically.
She cooked gourmet food. Like she learned how to cook gourmet because the other thing was she'd had kids in her house for a lot of time, like cooking dinner every night for a huge chunk of her life. Mm-hmm. And so she got bored with it. So by the time we came around, she went the gourmet route. And then I would turn my nose up to it because who wants blue cheese on their hamburgers with sauteed mushrooms? No, not this kiddo.
Nope.
Mm-mm. And she'd make her own pasta. And I mean, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. All the things that are kind of hipster now, she did the second go around.
Okay. Us.
Mm-hmm.
So what stands out to you that you want to continue doing? So do you make your own pasta?
I do not make my own pasta, no.
Garden?
Mm-mm. I did. We just harvested 2 cherry tomatoes when we came home from church.
2. What a bounty.
It was. They were gone in an instant. It was amazing. I think what my mom modeled well is she always was discipling women.
Okay.
I have vivid memories of our kitchen table in the evening. Maybe they'd put us to bed, but I would sneak my way down and I would see her at the table with at least 3-4 women.
Okay.
And we would go over to those women's house sometime or deliver meals, or she's just really involved with them, mm-hmm. counseling them through things, helping them develop their testimonies and learn how to share their faith and how to pray and how to read the Bible. I mean, she just... that was part of the rhythm of our life, was her having those people. And then same with my dad, like he was good about studying his Bible every day. I always remember him reading his Bible every day and teaching other people from the Bible.
Okay.
So yeah, their consistency in that stood out to me.
Did she talk to you about like that process, or was it just mainly you saw it and then you realized that's a big deal? Or like, how did you learn? Cause you do that. You've done that with me a lot. Like how did you learn how to do that if you weren't like sitting at the table?
Yeah, I think that, well, they did disciple us like in that homeschooling time, because of the way homeschool works, which, you know, a little bit, like mm-hmm. you get up a little slower, you have breakfast. And then my dad would teach us from the Bible before he went off to work.
Okay.
And that was just, you know, part of our family rhythm. And you know, as you go along the way, she would share theology or thoughts. And so I was being discipled. But I think it was really the modeling. Bruce and I are really big into that, like lead from the front kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Your kids are going to follow what you do more than what you talk about. Mm-hmm. So there is an equipping of teaching from the Bible, but there's also just like they're going to see what you're doing most and what you're into. And so, yeah, it was a lot of that watching.
Okay.
A lot of watching.
So good. Mm-hmm. When you should have been in bed, but you were just watching. So good.
I was totally the sneak downstairs kind of gal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. Okay. So as a mom, we have our pick of things to be concerned about every couple of minutes. There can be a new one. When you look at your sweet boys, like what do you find as a concern that you have for them, or just like a something that makes you a little uncomfortable?
You mean like today?
Mm-hmm.
Like even like an hour ago? I'm the type of mom to be like, our kids are the worst. Like I flip out. We've got to change everything.
Okay.
My husband, poor husband, has to deal with my constant waves of failure feelings. Mm-hmm. So today's was our boys don't speak kindly to one another. But I think that's been a theme for me for a long time. Like I just really want them to be kind and treat each other well with respect and honor. And I kind of have a high expectation of that. But I think too, like yes, it's modeling and they don't really hear Bruce and I talk to each other like that or us talking to them. So it's just,
where does it come from?
Being a kid.
Right,
yeah.
For sure.
But, and then it's funny, like I'll see like one bad interaction and I'll forget the 10 or 12 really great ones. Cause they're really, really good friends. Like the punishment at bedtime is we have to separate them because they normally all 4 sleep in one room.
Okay.
So when I get to the heart of it, yes, they really are good friends. But when I hear some things that come out of their mouth, I'm like, that is not okay. We do not talk like that to one another.
Right. So what does it look like, the reconciliation? Like, how do you walk them through fixing that?
If they call each other a name, our big thing is you have to say 3 nice things back.
Okay. How does that go? Because it doesn't go well at my house.
Well, it's kind of like we can't move on until you do.
Okay, right.
Like, it's just not even an option to move on. And the trick, though, is it's usually a self-centered compliment.
Okay.
I really like when you build Legos with me.
Yeah, for sure.
I like when you play with me. And I'm like, okay, let's think of one thing about them that's just about them.
Yeah.
Like, nothing to do with you.
My kids always say, I like your hair. I'm like, okay, well, it's nice.
I do think it's helpful to give them examples. Like, if you were telling a friend about your brother, what would you say is cool about them?
That's
like,
good.
He's really creative. He's really good at building things. He's funny. He's, you know, and then that helps. But I find that by the end of that, they're usually laughing and like they're over it. And boys in general tend to get over conflict faster.
Yeah.
Than I would probably with a sister or whatever. So
yes, lots of feelings with the girls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moment of silence for all the moms with girls.
For the four girl homes, let us mourn.
Let us pray.
The moment. Let us pray.
Oh yeah. My goodness. Okay, so we all have a struggle with parenting, with motherhood.
Yeah.
Well, at least most you guys seem to. I don't, but I'm
I know, Emily. A service. Got it all together. Yes.
This is a service.
Thank you for helping us.
You're welcome. What would you say? What would you say is your struggle that keeps coming back?
I would say, yeah, the whole reason I started the God-centered idea was that I tend to really care a lot about what people think of me.
Okay.
And so motherhood became about me and how I looked. And so I became really micromanaging, controlling, still do, as you could tell. I'm trying to micromanage their conversation.
Mm. Well, they need to not be totally mean.
Yeah. I mean, there has to be a standard, yes. But like, I used to get anxiety almost when we would go out in public with the boys and they would start doing something that could be embarrassing.
Yeah.
So you are making me look bad, basically. Mm-hmm. There's a classic story I have of when I had a 2-year-old and a newborn, and I was trying to feed the newborn. I was at the Arboretum, which is nuttiness, the Dallas Arboretum at pumpkin time.
Oh, man, yeah. But gorgeous, yeah. But crazy.
Gorgeous, but nuts. And the 2-year-old, he was really grumpy. And so I had him sit in the stroller while I tried to feed the newborn. And an older mom came up to me. She had a British accent. And she, of course she did. Mm-hmm. She was from our church, but I wasn't like with our MOPS group. They just happened to be there at the same time. Okay. And she came up to me and she said, "Could I help you?" And I was like, "No, I'm fine." Cause that's what we said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm fine. And, she said, "Does the toddler have a snack?" And I was like fumbling around. I found a snack and she goes to hand it to him. And he like totally turns his whole body away from her and does a really grumpy, like, "No." And I was so embarrassed. Like, I couldn't just let a 2-year-old be grumpy. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like mortified that he was rude to a British woman. This is the worst case scenario. And so I look at her and I'm like, "I am so sorry. He hasn't had a nap and it's hot and, blah, and he's teething." I mean, all of the, like, he doesn't have Jesus, every single excuse that I could think of. And she looks me dead in the eyes and she says, "Why as mothers do we feel like we need to apologize for our children? If he wants to be a jerk, let him be a jerk." It's like, I'm the worst mom. I'm not letting him be a jerk. Like, I was just bawling in the middle of the arboretum with her. And she's asking me if I had a mentor. And anyway, it was
like,
just,
I clearly don't. Look at me.
I need you. I need help. I'm struggling here. I mean, it was like with each kid I had, I couldn't control them. Like, I couldn't make them look presentable everywhere we went.
Yeah.
It was like a slow ripping away of me. Finding my identity and my acceptance in Christ is what became my center, so that I could let go of the opinion of others. Because honestly, people aren't thinking what I think they're thinking.
Right.
Most of the time. I mean,
and even when we try to manage it, we can't manage what
we can't. And almost it looks worse when I try to manage. I mean, they almost think worse of me in the managing.
Yeah.
When I'm out and about and I see kids acting like kids, sometimes I'm like, yeah, that's a kid. But then when I see the parent like overcompensating, trying to get their kid to behave, I'm like, oh, that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like, that, they've got issues.
Ugly. Yeah.
That's ugly. They need to settle down. Their kid's just being a kid.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's setting boundaries, but there's also, I think people can tell when we're trying to make our kids look good so we look good. And that's been my struggle is I really care about that. Too much. So there you go.
So obviously finding our identity in Christ and realizing kids are going to be kids. But then in the dailiness of, how do you know which battle to fight? I guess is my question. Because I want to fight all of them. My husband says, that's not a hill you need to die on. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it does. Like, I die like 73 times a day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, really the root of it for me was fear, right?
Right.
Fear of man over fear of God. So if it's something that I have to ask myself, am I scared of what people think or am I scared of God because I'm not training my child in obedience and good character?
Okay.
Like, is this more about me or is this more about their heart? And so I have to ask that in the moment, and that helps me differentiate how to handle it. And that fear, like the more kids I had, the more that fear grew. And what happened in me is because I became angry. And I was never an angry person.
Okay.
Like when I was little, I wasn't an angry person. I was a very like free-flowing hippie child in the woods kind of kid. And like, but I did have fear back then when I was little.
Okay.
I was scared a lot. I was more timid. So that fear grew, which is typically the root of anger for some people. And so
that's for me, for sure.
Yeah. So I kept trying to stop being an angry mom. But until I really identified that it was the fear, I would never get rid of the anger. Does that make sense?
Oh, it's such the root, yes.
I don't know if that answered your question about knowing which battle, but honestly, I think you have to do a lot of heart work. Our small group is doing the Recovery for Life stuff, Celebrate Recovery, whatever 12-step program your church does. Yeah. We're doing it as a group.
Okay.
And when we sat down this last Thursday, you know, they have you go around and say what you're feeling, you know, and they have this little chart and there's like the 8 root ones or just a few, 7 or 8 root feelings. And then there's little like subcategories.
Okay.
So you may be overwhelmed, but that's really fear.
Okay. I haven't seen that chart because we do a different thing than Celebrate Recovery, but.
Okay. Well, you go through all those and you, and it's really interesting to set, you know, see like, What am I actually feeling? I'm feeling a little resentment. It's coming out as anger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that we sometimes are so busy and distracted and maybe even just on our phones or whatever we're on or we're doing that we don't stop and like identify like what's my body actually feeling right now?
Yeah.
And labeling it for what it is and dealing with what it is. It's not your kids probably. It's your own baggage and past wounds. And if you didn't grow up in a Christian home and you want to get it right and you feel like you're not getting right because of how they're behaving.
Yes.
Like you need to get to the root of, well, why do you need to feel like you get it right? Do you trust God that he'll get it right?
Hmm.
And you just play your part by staying close to him. So I think those are the questions we have to really be in constant communication with God so that in those spur of the moment, outside of the home testing grounds, we can trust him more, not our own efforts.
So good. It's hard to kind of like create that lag time between this kid just did something ridiculous and I'm about to fly off the handle. But if you can kind of suspend and go, let me think about this, like what's happening here. For me, I like when they say bite your tongue, literally I bite my tongue because it's the only way to make the thing stop coming out. But I think that as I'm really just practicing giving that pregnant pause to just evaluate things and say, Lord, help, or let me just move on, or let me pretend like I didn't hear that because that's really not that big of a deal. It's just annoying. The thing they just said is annoying to me. It's not necessarily like a character problem. Or I'm hungry. That's why I don't like
it's,
you.
Right it's now. Running up against my comfort, convenience, control. It's like hitting on those things and not character. Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the enemy likes to, you've told me this way I'm repeating it, but since I'm on the phone with you, I'll go ahead and give you credit. If not, I may have just taken credit.
Oh, you would have totally stolen
it? No, I don't think so. But I don't know where you even got it from. Maybe you made it up.
I just came up with it.
So the enemy likes to wound us where we're already wounded. I mean, he's not that creative, or he's not creative. And so where do you find that in your mothering you keep being injured?
I think he tries to scare me. There was a time when I was literally scared for their safety. Like there were so many of them so young. They were all under 6, 4 of them under 6 that I couldn't keep eyes on all of them. And the middle two were much more daredevils than the oldest one was.
Okay.
And so it caused so much stress in my heart and anxiety that I someone would get hurt on my watch that was where he would wound me like. And I think also the whole humiliation thing, like they would do something completely embarrassing and someone would come up and tell me about it. And like, I was just like, oh my gosh, again, here we go. They just, you know, I'd pick them up from Sunday school or I'd pick them up from school and the teachers would tell me one more thing they did that I'm like, awesome, here we go.
Hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
And I would just have to like, it was like one more stripping away. And it And I think you have two choices when the enemy tries to use those soft spots. Mm-hmm. Is you can either turn to God and allow him to reveal the root lie that you're believing and what Satan is whispering again. Mm-hmm. And you can go to God and say, what's the truth? Or you can just hang out in that lie and be like, it's true.
Yeah,
they are a mess because I'm a bad mom. Or they are going to get hurt on my watch and it's going to be my fault. Like, that's a lie. Mm-hmm. Your kids are just as safe with other people as they are with you. Like, it's not like you have some magical powers. I mean, there is mommy intuition, but
yeah.
I think I had to let go of the fact that, like, they're only safe with me.
Mm.
That's not true.
Yeah.
So if we, in that moment of refinement where it could be more wounding, we have to have that truth ready. And I think that even takes reflective time, like time where you're with God and you analyze your negative thoughts. Like, where do you go a lot in your mind? What negative thoughts come up in your mind a lot? Mm-hmm. Write them physically down and write out what happens when you think those thoughts. And then this is all from Dr. Carolyn Leaf, if you want to give credit to her. And then, like, go to ask the Holy Spirit to give you truth to replace it. So when that negative thought starts popping up, that wound starts to get hit by an enemy's lie, that you can stop it with the true thought.
Yeah.
And then you think the true thought more. It's like it grows bigger in your mind.
And you have to do it over and over and over. I think
over and all day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I thought that parenting would be like, okay, I told you one time not to do that thing. So why are you doing it again? Like, what?
Yeah.
So yeah, we have to do the same thing first. Why am I yelling again? So you've had a podcast for a long time talking to moms. And what do you see as, is there a kind of a recurring theme lie that you see moms believing?
Well, I think one lie we believe is that our role doesn't matter.
Mm. Yeah.
One thing I hear over and over with moms, especially with older kids, is how important our job can be. Like, we can really speak life into our kids. We can be the hands and feet of Jesus. We can serve them. They can know Christ because of our love for them. But then there's another lie that that we're everything.
Hmm.
That without us, they'll be completely messed up. And so if something goes wrong, if they make a bad choice, that was our fault. Hmm. That we overly attach how they turn out to what we did. So our role is vital. Motherhood is a high calling, but it's not essential.
Hmm.
So God will move around and through and redeem any choice you make for his glory and his purpose.
Hmm.
And so I think the key is to say, okay, it matters that I speak to my kids about God. It matters that I pray over them. It matters that I help set boundaries and craft their hearts to be soft, to hear God's voice. But ultimately, they're his and their souls belong to him and their spirits belong to him. And so I can't overly attach my value to how they turn out and how they behave.
Yeah. So good. I love that. I wanted to ask you one more question.
Yeah.
What you got? What can you hit me with your best one? What can you not
hit
stop?
Me with your best shot? Sorry.
No, it's fine. I always like musical interludes. I encourage it. What can you not stop talking about right now? Just in general. Not parenting related.
Not parenting or ranting.
No, not parenting or ranting related.
Oh my goodness. What do I mean, man, you know me, Emily, I get on so many little like deals.
Yes.
I mean, right now I'm kind of concerned about our strategies that we're using. Not we like you and me, but because we're amazing.
Yeah.
But I am finding out things about how the world works and like simple things like that junior hires can bring cell phones into class and be on them during class.
What?
I didn't know this was a thing. And I'm sure it's true in high school if it's true in junior high. Anyone who's listening, if it's not true at your school, I think that's great. But I'm finding out it's a thing.
Ah.
Did you know this?
No, my kids aren't there yet. I told my daughter, though, whoever's the last kid that's getting a cell phone in your class, I guarantee you, you'll be after them. Like, I promise you, you'll be the last.
Well, and so I'm not there yet, so I can't really say, but what's confusing to me is I do know moms and in general, like, there's a trend of, like, pushing our kids at younger ages to do more. Okay. So, like, really pushing them to read and really pushing them to do school a lot and, like, signing them up for all the things when they're young.
Yeah.
So it's confusing to me that we would be so like high energy. They need to like work really hard when they're little,
mm-hmm.
but then we like let it all go so that when they're in junior high, they can't even learn from their teachers because everyone around them is on a cell phone?
Yeah, that's really concerning.
I heard it and I was like, couldn't draw the connection. So that's been like my little rant box lately.
Okay.
That's something I think about. I really like the Holy Spirit. Something I'm talking about there is Holy Spirit and how God's amazing and heals a lot of women. And just realizing, like you said, that there's a lot of women with some hard stuff in their background. And mm-hmm. I'm just thankful that for every different story I've heard of women and like hard things they've gone through as children and adolescents, as even adults, like every time I hear their story and every time we invite the Holy Spirit in and every time Jesus shows up, it's the same Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He is like a warmth, a presence, a light, a comforter. He fills that woman with peace and healing. And he's every single time, like, it's not like each of these women I've prayed with have heard each other's story completely, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when they describe their experience with Jesus, it's like the same.
It's consistent. Yeah.
Yeah. Which encourages my faith because I'm like, oh, there you are. And there you are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Like in a new way, a fresh way for that person. But your character hasn't changed, God.
Yeah. It says he's the same yesterday, today, and, you know, forever.
Yes. He's the same with Sally and Mary and Sue. I mean.
Mm-hmm. But we're not. So it's hard for us to translate that.
Well, yeah. And that he, I also see how he pursues each of his daughters. Mm. Like he just keeps going after them. And I'll hear stories. Well, there was this one person who told me about Jesus back when I was 10 years older. There was this person who invited me to that Bible study when I was 15. Or there was this person. Like, he pursues you. And to really believe he really wants you. Like, he wants to be the one who hangs out with you and gives you his full attention.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what every gal wants, right? To be pursued.
For sure.
And to be fully attended to. And he's ready and waiting. And we can miss it by striving after. I mean, for me, like if I strive after being on Instagram and like looking for approval there, I'm missing getting to hang out with God in the morning and just sitting with him.
And having his full approval. You know,
having his full approval, attention, love, acceptance. I've missed it. So that's my other thing I'm passionate about. That and cell phones.
No cell phones in the junior high. That is your battle cry.
That's my battle cry. That's funny. Yeah.
Well, Heather, thank you for chatting with me.
You're amazing. It's
a pleasure. You are too.
You're really good at this. Keep it up.
You're so nice. Thank you. All right. Have a good rest of your day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Wasn't that good? She's great. So thankful for her. If it seemed like she was super duper wise, and she would tell you the same thing, it isn't her, it's God. She sits, she listens to God, she asks him, what does he want her to do? And then she does it. The good news is we all have that capability. Do you know what I'm saying? We're all just in different places. So I think that's encouraging to me. So what are you going to do with what you heard? What will your strategy to struggle well be this week? Maybe fear really has a grip on you and you need to get quiet with God. Sit on your phone. If you can't, keep your hands off of it. I'm talking to myself here. Just get it away from you. And even if it seems super awkward or ridiculous or like a waste of time, just sit quietly with God and say, listen, I must be believing a lie here because I'm really scared. And ask him to point out what the lie is. A lie about you, a lie about him. Something's off or you wouldn't be fearful. Then wait. That's the hard part. You gotta wait. Or maybe you know exactly what the lie is and you just need to say, my bad, I've been believing something that's not true. I've been living like it's true and it's not. And then make a U-turn and do a new thing that's based on truth. He didn't die on the cross to set us free so that we could just go back into slavery. I used to work at a jail as a teacher. And when my students, the inmates, got released on their release date, they did not stay in the cell when the doors were unlocked. They got the heck out of there, you know? And we, a lot of times, the doors opened. We have trusted Christ, the doors open. And we are just like, yeah, but this little cot that I sleep on is like so comfy. And the beans that they give us every day that have like rocks in them, which that was actually true. The poor little guys would have rocks in their beans. It's so sad. But we really like them. They're kind of delicious. And I think I'm just going to stay. That's okay. And that doesn't make any logical sense, but I think we do it. You know, I recorded this thing with Heather ages ago, but as I prepared it for this week and she talked about fear of missing out, it was interesting. God's so funny. As I'm editing it and getting ready, I realized some stuff's going on in my own life that I'm really afraid of missing out. I feel like I must not be doing enough. I must not be positioning myself well. I must, like, things just aren't happening that I would like to see happening. And so I did. I sat with God. I said, listen, I'm believing this lie. I'm believing that I'm missing out. I'm believing that I'm not doing enough or being enough. Krista Manny was on the show a couple months ago, and she said that she just prays to see the choice. I think sometimes we just stay in our slavery and we don't realize that there's another way. And so I'm seeing that I'm at a crossroads of striving and fear and worrying, but I'm seeing God has been faithful to show me there's another choice at this crossroad. I usually go the striving way, but I can turn the other way and go rest and peace and waiting and trusting. So that's what I'm going to do this week, because we all have a choice to be afraid of that one thing that keeps us up at night, or that we don't even want to acknowledge because it's too scary, or to say, you know what, Lord, you're good, you're faithful, you're consistent, and you love me when I'm doing great, and you love me when I'm completely unlovable and not very impressive. I would encourage you this week, take some time and ask God, what lie am I believing? Or if you know, say, God, sorry, help me see a choice and help me make a new way. He's faithful and he wants it for you more than you. So guys, let's walk out of ourselves. It's our release day, okay? So let's walk out and let's not look back. Yeah, she talked about a bunch of stuff, but let's leave it there. I'd love to hear how you're coming with rooting out lies and walking in freedom. Have a great week of struggling well.